Turn to Joshua chapter number 21, if you would. Joshua, the book of Joshua chapter number 21. And how about this? Is this too loud for everybody? Everybody good right here with this? All right, praise the Lord. Joshua chapter number 21. Let me talk to you just a minute, get the nerves out of the way. Here's what the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So here's what I want you to hear about that from that one scripture tonight. In the latter days, the Spirit, and that's capitalized in your Bible. You know who that is, don't you? That's the Holy Ghost of God living inside you. And so the Spirit speaking expressly in the latter days. I believe we're in the latter days, don't you? We're in a time, I believe, it's already been witnessed to tonight. I believe these are the times that the Lord could come back anytime. Grabs your church out of here, hey, and then the next thing, you know what happens after that, right? There's a bad time coming upon the earth. I believe we're living in those days. And what your Bible just told you about that is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, did you hear it? Is speaking expressly. If you talk to folks today, about everybody you run into, they'll say, man, it's dark right now. There's some dark times of weird things going on in our country, weird things going on in our world. And so here's simply what I want you to hear tonight. We need to be listening to what's going on. We need to be listening to the Word of God. How about this? Are you glad to be saved tonight? Amen. And so how about another question for you? How many of you could say, maybe with an uplifted hand tonight, that I'm glad the Lord dwells with me daily. He gives me peace and joy. I've got a happy life no matter what's going on. How about that? Everybody got that peace? I'm going to tell you, everybody don't have that peace, by the way, but you can have it. And so the Spirit speaking expressly in these times and in these days that we're living with. Did you have time to get to Joshua 21? Amen. All right. Look at verse 43. Look at verse 43 with me. We'll pray here in just a minute. I want to read you about three verses here just to get going and try to give you some good news here. Everybody's a little nervous about the visiting missionary. It's just Vince. Amen. Let's read here in the Word of God. Let's read three verses together. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. And the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And there fell not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. And man, that's some good scripture tonight. Well, I know that's Old Testament, and I know that the Bible's talking about the nation of Israel, but listen, we're a type of that old Israel economy, how the Lord brought them out of Egypt. Amen? Brought them out of Egypt, saved them, baptized them unto Moses in the cloud, and all that, and brought them straight to a place that he promised them. And here they are. We read about it in the book of Joshua, how they entered into God's rest. They done some things, and they received God's promises. I want you to recognize some things today that we can shout about and that we can say praise God about. Let's just break them down for just a minute. Look at verse 43 with me. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land, all of it. You know what he said he would do? He laid it out for them. He said, I'm going to give you this much and from this coast and all that. And when they went in there to get that thing, there wasn't one little bit of land that he didn't give them. What are you saying, preacher? His promises are true. His promises are real tonight. And we can depend on that and we can look to that and we can draw strength in that. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He changes not. And so they got all the land, and notice what the Bible says, and they possessed it. Now I want to ask you tonight, are you possessing all the promises that God made you? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about a victorious life living for the Lord. I'm enjoying it. Listen, I understand there's trials and troubles, there's things that go on, and you may be in the valley today, on the mountaintop tomorrow, but I can attest to you tonight that the Lord is good all the time. And all these promises that He's made us, they're true. He's faithful. Amen. When I'm not faithful, He's faithful. He abideth faithful. And so they possessed it, and notice what else, they dwelt there. Man, that's hard to do, isn't it? That's a hard thing to do. I'm going to tell you, you can go ahead and admit it or not. It doesn't really matter to me. I've been on the way for just a little while. It's hard to stay right where you need to be with God. It takes a little bit of work. Amen. It does. It takes a little bit of work. Look at verse number 44. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that He sware unto their fathers. There stood not a man of all their enemies before them. Wow. What are you talking about, preacher? What about all these cancers? What about all these things that's going on? What about the surgeries that we're facing? What about all that stuff? What about it? How many of y'all going to make it out of this thing alive, by the way? We're not. But along the way, I'm talking to you tonight about an opportunity. A lot of people say, live your best life now and all that stuff. I don't know where all that come from. I've heard that. But I'm talking about living a good life with God. I mean, there's no better life. And here's the truth of it. Here's the truth of it. And y'all are so sweet that I started questioning, God, did you give me the wrong message tonight? But the truth about it is that a lot of Christians, a lot of saved people, they never really realize all that God's got for them. If you're not there, you're missing out. Because God's so good. And Brother Vinoy said it last night. He said, if you could get saved again, sign me up. And I think we could all remember that feeling. But I was thinking today, just before we came over, you know what? That same glory, that same closeness to the Lord is available to me and you. Oh, you're not always going to be on the mountaintop, but the closeness that you can have to God and with God, there's nothing like it. And so to dwell there in all the promises that God gave, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. And then verse 45, and there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. We've been given exceeding great and precious promises. And I want to get all that I can, don't you? Apostle Paul said this, to know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Philippians chapter number 3, in verse 10, 11, right through there. The great man, the Apostle Paul, he said this, I've not attained, I've not yet arrived. Oh, I just want more and more of what God's got for me. That's what we're talking about tonight. And so how about this? Let's pray tonight and we'll get right into our text. Father, we thank You for a good night. Pray God You'd help us. And Lord, bring to our memory everything, Lord, that You want us to say. I pray that You'd touch these sweet people. Help them, Father. Help us to help them. And again, we pray that You'd touch Pastor Vinoy as well. Lord, be with each one. Lord, revive us again. Do a great work in our life. And Lord, help us and touch us. Help us to understand the deep things of God. And Lord, just not on the surface. And deal with us, Lord, right where we're living. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Numbers chapter number 14, if you would. Numbers chapter number 14. We'll try to take four verses right there. Explain a little bit of something to you tonight. I hope everybody knows, and most people know the story of Exodus and how God had a people, His people, Israel, down in there 430 years or so, and He brought them out by a great mighty hand. You know that story, don't you? And we understand how Pharaoh gave all kinds of excuses, said, Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh, he had about four or five excuses there. He said this, yeah, go sacrifice, but just don't leave the land. And that wasn't good enough. God sent a plague. And then Pharaoh said, well, just don't go very far. And isn't that how the devil wants us to be? And he don't want us to go very far with God. And so he had another excuse. Well, go, the men go, but just don't take the little ones with you. How many of you know we need to take our little ones with us? Now, they're important, aren't they? And it's important how we are. There's a generation coming up behind us. Y'all realize that, don't you? How many of them's here tonight? Now, you got a few young people. And here's what I talked to a man today. He said, "Oh, I just believe there's a great revival going to happen among young people, and it's going to sweep the land." I said, "Well, I hope you're right." I said, "But I just kind of worried about my generation, and I'm worried about your generation, and I don't know that we've done the right things in our generation for the young folks that's coming up after us to even really know what it really is to have true revival." Can I get an amen anywhere? I think we failed a little bit. And I think my generation's failed. And so I say this, revive me. Revive me. And so Pharaoh had some excuses. And then he said, "Well, even your women and children could go, but don't take your flocks and your herds." You see, Satan's always got a compromise for us. He's always got something else just a little bit different than what God wants. And we know that the Lord sent how many plagues? Somebody tell me. On the nation of Egypt. Come on. 10 of them. 10 of them. The last one being what? The blood. The blood on the doorpost. Oh, it's about the blood, isn't it? And they come out by a strong and mighty hand. Can I tell you tonight the number 10 in your Bible? Anybody know what it represents? It represents testimony. And oh, God had a testimony there among the nation of Egypt. And he brought out a people. And the people coming out of that nation by a strong and mighty hand, and he took them through the Red Sea. They were all baptized there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 1, 2, 3, through there. They were baptized there in the sea and in the cloud. And he led them out. And he protected them. And do you know what he did? He brought them all the way to Canaan land. And there they were. And what did Moses do? He said, "Well, we'll send some spies in there. Let's spy out the land." How many spies went in? Somebody tell me. 12. 12 spies went in. And all but two of them come out with an evil report. 10 being the number of testimony. Oh, listen to me. I'm thinking about a people that's come out of Egypt. And they've had the world on them. But God saved them anyway. You know what I'm talking about? How about me and you? How about how God brought us out? Hey, you realize you still have a little baggage, don't you? And we're still living in a fallen world. And was talking to some of the ladies back there earlier, said, been to work, said, "I got the shakes now, and but praise God I'm here." And listen, there's a battle that we go through daily to stay where we should be with God. Can I get a witness anywhere? Hey, preacher goes through them too. And the world just gets on us. And God led them all the way to the promised land. And he said, Moses said, "Let's send some spies in there. Let's see if we can take the land, go through the land, check it out, bring back a report." And 10 of the 12 spies said, "Oh my, there's no way we can do this. There's giants over there." But wait a minute. I thought God promised them all the land. But there were two, Caleb, Joshua, there were two that said, "No, hold on everybody, let's go do it, let's go take the land. God said we could go, let's go take the land." Now, I want to relate that tonight because we've already come out of Egypt. God's already saved us. We're not talking about salvation tonight. We're talking about a walk with God. We're talking about a victorious walk with our Savior and all the promises and all the joy and all the things that God has for you, no matter what's going on. And so 10 of them, the testimony, The number of testimony. 10 of them said, we can't take it. We can't go in there. They'll kill us. And I thought about this. That number 10, those 10 spies that went in and come out and said, oh, we just can't do it. Got their head dropped. Don't know why God even brought us here. And you know what that did? That spread throughout the whole congregation. And they took their word for it. They said, woe is me. Why did God even bring us here? All these promises. He must be a liar. Wish we'd have just died over there. Now, how many people do you know have been living as a Christian a long time, been saved, and you know they're saved, but never have really realized what God's got for them? Listen, I'm talking about spiritual things. We're not talking about sin tonight, although it's sin not to believe God, all that. Where I'm trying to get you tonight is right down to where we're living so that we can realize, you know what? What God said, I can really believe that. You ever been there? I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm just going to give you a little bit of witness. I agonized over the message tonight. I knew what I was going to preach when Brother Vinoy called last week. I said, I got it. Woo, already got it. And I was confident in that thing, Brother Jason. Then along come Sunday night, Monday morning, and God started, I've been praying, and God started working on me, and I started getting nervous. I was like, Lord, are you serious? You don't want me to preach that? Like, I know that stuff right there. I already know that inside. I could quote half that right there. I know it. I've never been to Bible way before, but I know this material. And like, Brother Jason, you know how it is when it just gets cold. And that ain't it. And so I start begging God. So here's where I'm trying to take you. The Lord called me to preach. And I battled that thing for a long time. And here's what I said. Lord, I can't preach. And He said, I know. But He finally got me to a place of surrender. To where I said, Lord, if You want me to, I'll do this. But You're going to have to do it. He said, I got you, son. But the craziest thing, I sat down beside my wife, brother, on the couch just 2 days ago, and I was getting ready to pray, and tears in my eyes. I said, I can't wait to meet Jesus. I don't understand it, but He called me to preach His Word. But then I find myself having to beg Him to give me exactly what I need to help you. Ain't that weird? It's pretty weird. It's pretty odd. I said, I want to meet my Lord. Because I don't understand why He keeps me in a place of humbleness to where I have to seek His face. And I have to pray. And I have to know exactly what God wants. Anybody with me tonight? If you're going to be used of God, we can't get too much pride building. Can't get used to the way we operate. You see, some people have never went into Canaan land. They've never entered into God's promises. I'll give you another example here in just a minute. We got to get some scripture here. I'm getting excited now. Are y'all getting excited? Whew. Let's read verse number 1, chapter 14. Bible says, and all the congregation... Now here they are. Listen, here's where the scene's at. Here's where we are. God's brought them out, as we said, by a great mighty hand. They're under the blood, in the cloud, following God. When God moved, they moved. And He's brought them all the way here. And He said, this is the life I want you to live. This is the place I promised you. And now they sent the spies in, and 10 of them, of a testimony of essentially where the whole congregation's heart was. They said, no, we can't do that. Our heart's really not in it. Why? Because it's going to be a battle. And so we're right there. And what you're getting ready to read is the reaction of the people of the message that it's going to be a tough life, at least for a little while, till they realize God's promises. Let's read it. Verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. My. Or would to God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt. Man, ain't that the way we do sometimes? It really is. Because spiritually, we don't really ever get to the place of humbleness to where we can get to what we need to get to and where we need to get to for a right relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing, the things that we leave on the table, the blessings that we leave out there, and the places that we seem to never get. It's a trust thing. And I'm all for young people having a good revival and all that stuff, but I want what God's got for me. And I want what God's got for you. And you know what? It's there for the taking. It really, truly is. It's there for the taking. And so I've got some notes here. I'm not real good at these notes because I get really, I get going and I can't slow down. But I want to try to slow down here for just a minute. I want to outline these verses just a little bit for you tonight. Let's look back at verse number one. Here's what, if I could help you try to remember, in verse number one, there's an unbelieving desperation. There's an unbelieving desperation. Notice all the congregation lifted their voice and cried and wept all night. Here they are on the verge of entering into God's rest, and then they decide it's just too hard to live like God wanted us to live. They seem like they just wanted to be, listen to me, oh, it's going to get real right here, okay? Y'all don't get mad at me. Open your hearts, open your minds, listen to me now. It seemed like they just wanted to be saved and not really have to work or pray or read or deny self to have God's blessings. Well, one thing I've found is it really don't, I've tried that part. And you're just not going to be as happy as you could be in the Lord. You're going to make it to heaven? Yeah, if you're saved, you're going to make it to heaven. But you're going to struggle along the way. You're not going to have all the blessings of God that you could have. Can we just say this tonight? All the congregation seemed like they followed the crowd. I thought about this right here. There were 10 spies that come out and said, no, we can't do it. Two of them came out and said, let's go take that place. Well, what happened to the congregation? You would have thought at least somebody, one person, would have stood up and said, hold on a minute. Didn't God say? But listen, Brother Justin, sometimes in church, and it's a wonderful church, man, what a treasure. But listen to me, sometimes in church, we're waiting on the church to make a move. Really? Because you know why? Because you're embarrassed to do something and I'm embarrassed to do... Listen, here's what the Bible says. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Spirit of God. The natural man can't receive that. So don't matter if you're saved or not, you're still battling the flesh. And you know what the flesh tells you? Don't be that crazy guy. Don't be that crazy guy. What are you doing with that tear? Justin, why are you a nut? You mean you're so weak you've got tears? I say, yeah, God's touching my life. Hey, man, God's touching my life, and that's where I like it, and that's where I want to stay. Just go ahead, Brother Jason. Count me as one of the weirdos. I've got club cards if you need them. Man, we'll drop the membership for you tonight. Tonight only. If you want to join up. But it seems like the congregation, we're ready. Listen, if revival were to break out down there at Calvary Lighthouse where Brother Vanoy's preaching, And word got back up to these sweet people right here. You know where y'all be tomorrow night and Friday night? I heard it's getting on down there. By the way, watch out, I'm coming too. But listen, why not us? Why not you? Why not me? To get where I ought to get with God, to have the blessings of God that He already promised I could have. Victorious living. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Is any other weirdos in here tonight? Amen. Praise God. Wonder what would have happened if just one of them would have stood up. Had enough boldness for God to say, hold on, God's already done so much in my life. We've seen the miracles that He did and how He fed us in the wilderness. He brought us out. He fed us. He brought us all the way here. Why would we think that He wouldn't take us on like He said He would? Oh my. But we sometimes go with the crowd, don't we? Canaan land, the promised land. Right here is the place I got in my notes. I was going to tell you about me and Christy sitting down talking where I wanted to see Jesus. You see, it's a weird thing to stay where you need to stay. I'm not talking about you. Not everybody's a preacher. But listen, we've all got the same responsibility to be where we should be because we're all part of the body of Christ. We've all got a job to do. And I'll testify to you tonight, you cannot effectively do your job in the body of Christ lest you're walking in the Spirit. Amen. All right, verse number 2, I'm going to move on. Look at verse number 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. I titled that verse this right here, A Pelted Pastor. I like that pretty good. And I try to think of example of what I could use here about this verse, and I didn't have enough paper. But the one I settled in on, about the opposition that sometimes comes to the man of God who's trying to listen, Moses, Aaron, trying to lead them to a place. Of course, we know Moses didn't get to go in. Joshua led them in. But what about the man of God who's all the time standing, interceding for His people and trying to feed them and trying to get them to understand the spiritual side of things so that they'll catch fire and my, the opposition that sometimes comes. And I thought about this, and Pastor Vanoy probably give me at least $5 for this one. I want you to know this, as a former pastor myself, I've learned a few things. Here's what I know. It doesn't matter which position in the church you're trying to fill, whether it's assistant pastor, a deacon, a treasurer, Sunday school teachers, parking lot ushers, whatever, grass mowers, building cleanup. Thank God for those. But it doesn't matter what position it is. You better find somebody that's operating in the Spirit of the Holy God. If you don't, you're going to have trouble. If you don't, you're going to get some murmuring. If you don't, there's going to be some trouble along the way. And so I just want to tell you this. If you're in a position tonight of the church and you're working in the church, thank God for you. But stay where you should be. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your zeal for the things of God. Don't forget why you wanted to do what you wanted to do in the first place. I've had a good time with me and a vacuum cleaner vacuuming the floors at various churches. You know what? I was sitting back. There's multiple times I said, thinking, thank you, Lord, that I've got a place to go. I've got a place to work. And the next thing you know, people are going to walk in and enjoy the things of God and get help. What a blessing to be a part of the family of God. But you need to operate in the Spirit of the Lord. I'm talking about from the least to the greatest. It's so important. It's so important. All right, I better move on. Y'all not shutting down on me, are you? All right. Okay, good. I didn't think you was. All right. We've seen in verse number 1, an unbelieving desperation. In verse 2, a pelted pastor. And verse number 3, a misguided misery. Misguided misery. Let's look at it. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword? That our wives, oh my, here we go. That our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? I just got to read my notes just to get me going, just verbatim, because I just want to stay on track right here. Let me read you the first thing I wrote down. What they didn't realize that by going God's way is exactly what would save their wives and their children. Amen. They sat there and looked at the men of God and they said, you mean we're supposed to go in there? We remember what it was like in Egypt. We really like Egypt because, listen, walking for God and having to deal with the spiritual side of things, we're not really used to that. It's a whole lot easier to go back there and to do that stuff we remember. What about our children? Here's what's going on. Here's the application for today. The average church member, oh my, listen, I love y'all. I'm going to strike a nerve right here. Just be ready. Put your seatbelt on. The average church member that's got young kids and they're coming up to where they're right about ready to start chasing a ball. And the next thing you know, they start feeling pressure. Boy, your girl would look real good on that ball team. They've got some real talent. Here's what happens in today's time. Let me tell you how the devil's operating today. It ain't like it was when you was growing up, when there wasn't AAU teams and all this stuff going on and they could have some time off. It's year round. You get on matter what ball, what frisbee, whatever that you get them involved in. If they're not the best of the best, by the time they hit middle school, high school, they're not going to make the team. Listen, that's a fact. Okay? So the pressure's on you, Mama and Daddy, to keep little Johnny and little Susie right there and with their skills high and trained up. Hey, we even hire trainers to come in and do stuff with them. That's what we do. And let me tell you what's going to happen. And the pressure's going to be, listen, Holy Ghost of God's going to be telling you, you need to be in church. You need to have them youngins in church. And the next thing you know, coach is going to say, hey, listen, team family. Well, we've got a tournament booked in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday all day. How many of you can go? And you know what's getting ready to happen. If you say, well, no, I can't go because we got church on Sunday, then the next thing you know is your little Jimmy and your little Jill, they're not going to get playing time because they're not bought in like they ought to be bought in. Amen. I'm trying to help you tonight. Listen, I'm trying to rescue a few. I'm trying to rescue a few. Here's what they said as they was getting ready to go into Egypt. You mean you expect our children to be weird? You expect our wives and children to go in there and to not be like the Egyptians? God said, I've got them. I've got more for them than you could ever imagine. Will you just trust me? Will you just let them? Will you just keep them close to me? I've got exactly what they need. That's the pressure that you're facing. You're facing that every day. The question is, who do you believe? Truly, truly, who do you believe? Let me ask you this, who do you love more? Really? I'm not trying to down you. That'll help you when you have to make that decision and the Lord will help you. Who do you love me more than you love the world? That's truly the decisions we're making. It truly is. And so when we think about that, there's many times that, listen, that daddy has a spiritual ear and is ready to do the right thing, but mama overrules. It's so important, daddies, to lead your families. Listen, I'm glad for women. God made women for a helpmeet. I'm going to help you tonight. Daddies, where's our men of God?
That's right.
Amen. Oh, we're starving for it, folks. Strong men of God, Brother Jason. They'll be right up here, be the first ones up here fighting for their families in prayer. Be the first ones to say it's time for altar prayer at the home. Teaching their children, teaching their home. Listen, many times daddies get overruled. The results to turning back to Egypt because you think it's going to kill them. The very thing, listen, many times the things that you think you're depriving them of are the very things that's going to introduce them to the things that's going to carry them away. The devil's sly. He's been doing this a lot longer than you have. He's been doing this thing a lot longer than you have. He knows how to creep in. He knows when you're weak. He knows how to do this thing. What am I saying tonight? You need to go on into the promised land, to the places where God's dwelling with you, where you're dwelling with God. I'm talking about the spiritual things. When the lights are out, when nobody's looking, and you're getting to God, those are the things that's going to strengthen you. Man, I'm trying to help you tonight. Oh, you with me now? Let me go one more. Let me give you an example right here. God helped us Sunday night, we was able to fill in for a pastor friend of ours. And here's what that church does. They bus in, they go to a homeless facility and bus in homeless people to the church. And not only do they go to a homeless facility and bus in people to the church, they go to a foster home. Take that bus, and they brought, you know how many foster kids they brought in there that day? 14 foster kids. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. And I've been to that church before they started doing that stuff, and just to be honest, I didn't think there'd be that many people there, and there was a pretty good crowd there that day, and God had given me a message on being nourished up in the things of God. And it was the right message. And so I just preached to the church and talked about being nourished up in the things of God. And it was amazing. All those homeless, all those foster kids, they said about right back there, about in the middle of this second aisle over. And it was amazing. Those foster kids had their eyes glued on the preacher. What a blessing. And I noticed one little boy in particular. He kept staring at me, and as we got toward the end of the message, God just impressed on my heart, and we started telling him about how to be saved. And listen, the next thing you know, here comes one, and here comes two, and before it was all over, there was four little foster kids that got saved that day. What a blessing. And I got to thinking, listen, before we get out of there, and I love them all, and the people down there is beautiful, but I'm going to tell you, there were some other young people there, and you can tell they had more than those foster kids did. Can I tell you this? Let's just go ahead and admit it. If we got children, grandchildren, we can probably say they're pretty spoiled. And that night, those young people that are normally there, I looked at them and told them, I said, y'all realize you're spoiled, don't you? Here's where my mind went. The Spirit of the Lord was moving. Remember what we started out with? 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. In the latter times, the Spirit speaketh expressly. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. I just want to say it again. You got to be blind not to know that the Spirit's speaking in the daytime we're living in. Even people that are not saved, they realize something's up. And those foster kids that didn't have anything, they were the ones that were attentive to what God was saying. And those that were here, let's just say it, that were spoiled and had plenty, you know what they were doing? They were looking down at whatever and giggling and doing all this other stuff. That's how we are. Brother Michael, that's how we are so much. We so enjoy the blessings of God that we forget about God's, what He has for us in the spiritual side of things. Can I just go ahead and say this? We don't really need Him. They needed Him. They didn't have much, but they needed Him. God help us to remember where we came from. A lot of times we're sitting right there ready to go in and enjoy God's blessings. And we will not humble ourselves to have what God wants us to have. That's what it's about. It's pride in our life. It really is. Brother Michael, you think about this. If it all boils down to the resistance that we have a lot of times for the things of God, it's really pride. It's all these things that we've been talking about. We just want to humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That part where if they humble, if my people call by my name, and the part where it gets to where they humble themselves, we just won't do it. We won't. Saved, going to heaven. But man, there's so much more for us. All right, verse number 4, let me end here. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. I titled this verse right here, The Playground Pig. The Playground Pig. Anybody ever play pickup ball? Used to play pickup ball? And you know, there'll be a captain over here, and there'll be a captain over here, and they'll start picking teams. And they start picking the best players first, and I was usually one of them that was chosen last, by the way. But here's what that looks like. I started wanting to pick my team. Guess which team I wanted to be on? The best one. It was easy street for me, right? So I thought about this when they decided they wanted to choose captains. You know what they wanted? Anybody's going to choose a captain that fits what they want to hear. Oh, it's dangerous. Listen, church, it's dangerous not to stay where God wants us to stay. Next thing you know, when we're trying really to pick our way and we're running a little bit from God, you know what you're going to do? You're liable to pick something and latch on to that, and it may take you a little bit further away than you thought you wanted to go. Oh, let us choose a captain. I think you got a pretty good captain that pastors this church. Are you listening to him? Are you helping him? Oh my. Boy, we're blessed, aren't we? Little Ryan. Ryan was one of them young men that got saved. He was the last one that came up. Little Ryan, he's 12, 13, 14 years old. Skinny, little, but he couldn't take his eyes off the preacher. And all them four kids was up here getting dealt with on the altar. And little Ryan, he sat right back there. And not until one of them kids went back there and sat back down. And I said, no, come on up here. Come back up here. We're going to talk about what just happened. And Ryan started coming. And I said, no, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to this other one. He kept coming. I said, you, son, you come on back up here. His name is Jeremiah. Come on back up here. And Ryan looked at me. He said, I want to be saved too. Amen. My. To get to God. Let me say this, two things quickly. God wants us to completely depend on Him. I told you the story about me preaching. I can't do this without the Lord. I have to stay at a place, and you have to stay at a place where God can use you and take you where He wants you to be. It's a place of humbleness. Listen, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. Isn't this salvation an amazing thing? When you get saved, you want to please Him. But without faith, without humbling yourself, it's impossible to please God. Turn one last place with me tonight. We'll be done. We're 10 minutes over time. Y'all charge that to my account, okay? 1 Corinthians. Turn with me quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to leave you at this tonight. Has everybody had a good night tonight? Amen. Amen. I have two. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to leave you at this tonight. I want to tell you tonight, there's some things that you might, maybe you've been missing out on some things. There's a good report here. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you don't have to miss any more. Amen? God wants every one of us to be right where we should be. He loves us more than we love Him. And so here's what I want to leave with you tonight. When you start doubting, when you start getting all those excuses, the reasons you can't go in, the reason there's giants in the lands over there, the reason all this stuff, listen, God knows better than your excuses. Okay? He knows better. He knows better. Let me leave you with this. Look at verse number 24 and 25. But unto them which are called. Are you called? Y'all worry me now. Are you called? Amen. Are you saved tonight? To them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, oh, bless His name, the power of God. Amen. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now here's what I want to leave with you. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, I want to make an admission to you tonight. If this wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't say it. It almost sounds blasphemous to talk about the foolishness of God or the weakness of God, because all of us realize and know that God's not foolish. Can I get an amen? And there's no weakness in God. Can I get an amen? So here's what I want to leave you with. Right down in the depths of your soul and where you contend with the things of God and whether you should humble yourself and be sold out to the God, here's what it is. You're wrestling with the foolishness of God. Because the world thinks that the things of God's foolish. And you're wrestling with that. Should I believe God? Or is the things of God foolish? But your Bible just told you that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So all those Jews that stood out of the Canaan land and didn't go in, you know what they did? They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. I hope you're not in the wilderness tonight. They did not enter into God's rest because of unbelief. All those of 20 years of age and over, you know what they did in those 40 years of wandering? They died. Can I tell you, sin kills a lot of things. Outside of the boundaries of where God wants us to operate, there's a lot of things that die even in your life. What about your testimony? What about your walk with God? What about your church attendance? What about your Bible reading? A lot of things die in the wilderness. The foolish things of God are wiser than men. God's always right. The things that He promised us, they're there. But it's up to us to go in and take what God promised us. How about this? Y'all go read the book of Joshua. It won't take you too long. It's just about 24 chapters. Here's what they did. When they went in, they had battles. They had to take the land that God promised them. Here's what you'll have to do. You'll have to do just like I do. You'll have to get on your face before God and say, God, I thought you called me to this. I thought you wanted me to do that. Oh, I did, but I just want you to keep you right there where I need you, where I can use you. That's what He does. The foolishness of God is wiser than this world, than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So when you think that, oh, I'm not going to fool that old church or this, that, or that. The world thinks this place is weak. I'm looking at a bunch of powerful people in here tonight. Why? Because we got a powerful God. Amen. Everybody stand with me tonight. Sis, come to the piano. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient. Don't tell the pastor I went 15 minutes over, okay? If anybody needs to pray, she's going to be playing. And the foolishness of God's wiser than men. I'll just tell you that. Where are you tonight? Listen, it's Wednesday night. It's Wednesday night. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are with your... You can go ahead and play. I don't know where you are with your walk with God. But I guarantee you, some of you said, man, I ain't where I ought to be with God, but here's what you're used to doing. You're used to standing outside of the Canaan land instead of getting a little bit of victory. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you got to make a choice, even right now. Are you going to be one in the crowd? Are you going to be just like the crowd and say, well, they said we couldn't have victory? Or are you going to be maybe one that may say, you know what, I'm just going to be weird like the preacher, and I'm going to get a hold of God. The altar's open, by the way. You're welcome to come. God bless you.